going to read this morning from Canto 3, Srimad Bhagavatam, the final verse of chapter 16, Jai Vijay. Cursed by the sages. An important message is this is Lord Brahma speaking to the demigods because look at this. Red roses. Last time somebody gave me a garland with red roses, it stained my kick really bad. Had to throw this. Anyway. These look good. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu have just taken birth. And immediately upon their birth, the whole universe was disturbed. This and that and the other, bad omens, and the whole universe became darkened. The demigods were very concerned what to do, what's going on. So they went to Lord Brahma. Nice little statement. The difference between suras and asuras is the suras, or the demigods, the devotees, they go to authority. And demons are disinclined. So, the demigods went to Brahma, what's going on, what to do, and he said, don't worry. All this is ordained by the Supreme Lord. He didn't give, like, what's going on. He just said the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, he did say that these two demons have taken birth. But the Personality of Godhead is arranging things through his time energy. This is a fascinating description that connects with an earlier chapter about calculation of time by the atom. Anyway, it's all ordained by the Supreme Lord, and so you can go back to your boats. He's going to take care of it. So this is, I'll just read the previous verse. It is the prowess of these two twin asuras that has disturbed you, for it has minimized your power. There is no remedy within my power, however, for it is the Lord himself who desires to do all this. And this morning's verse, the final verse of the chapter. My dear sons, the Lord is the controller of the three modes of nature and is responsible for creation, preservation, and dissolution of the universe. His wonderful creative power, Yogamaya, cannot be easily understood even by the masters of yoga. That most ancient person, the Personality of Godhead, will alone come to our rescue. What purpose can we serve on his behalf by deliberating on the subject? End of chapter. And Prabhupada's very beautiful purport. When something is arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not be disturbed by it, even if it appears to be a reverse. Prabhupada uses this word reverse 6 times. A reverse, according to one's calculations. For example, sometimes we see that a powerful preacher is killed, or sometimes he is put into difficulty. Just as Haridas Thakur was, He was a great devotee who came into this material world to execute the will of the Lord by preaching the Lord's glories. But Haridas was punished at the hands of the Kazi by being beaten in 22 marketplaces. He goes on. Similarly, Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and Prahlad Maharaj was put through so many tribulations. The Pandavas, who were direct friends of Krishna, lost their kingdom. Their wife was insulted, and they had to undergo many severe tribulations. Seeing all these reverses affect devotees, one should not be disturbed. One should simply understand that in these matters there must be some plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavatam's conclusion is that a devotee is never disturbed by such reverses. There's the word again. He accepts even reverse conditions as the grace of the Lord. One who continues to serve the Lord, even in reverse conditions, is assured that he will go back to Godhead, back to the Vaikuntha planets. Lord Brahma assured the demigods that there is no use in talking about how the disturbing situation in darkness was taking place, since the actual fact was that it was ordered by the Supreme Lord. Lord Brahma knew this because he was a great devotee, It was possible for him to understand the plan of the Lord. So I just have to become Lord Brahma and then you won't be disturbed. But it's a challenge to become at least one of the places in scriptural references to become Lord Brahma 100 lifetimes of flawless execution of varnashram duties. Try it for one day. Try it for 1 hour. 100 lifetimes. So he's superlatively qualified. And then empowered and so on. Each of us, I'm sure, have our opportunity or requirement to it comes and it goes. This system is needs another system, I think. That sounded pretty important, but whatever it was. Each of us probably has to deal with friends or congregation members or new people or people at work or just in the path of life who have this doubt. Something happens somewhere. You know, the why do bad things happen to good people thing. Or I can say I've been asked, within this past week, maybe 5 times on, something to do with scripture. Why da-da-da-da-da-da. Why did Krishna permit something, something, something? We just recently were covering again Queen Kunti's prayers, and in one of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purports, he describes Kunti's statement of, so compare ourselves to Kunti, right? Okay, great. Actually, I'll just leave this because this thing's here. Okay. Hey. Good morning. Look at you and your fancy dhoti. Whoa. Okay. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was commenting very beautifully on Kunti's repeated statement, I don't understand you. You're bewildering to me. Now, she certainly understands him. But then Vishwanath cites different examples of where the contradictory, apparently contradictory nature that Krishna has is bewildering. You know, there's many of them. Besides, one of her special ones is, you who are feared by fear personified or afraid of the rope in Mother Jasoda's hands. This is bewildering to me. But a whole list of things. Why Grandfather Bhishma, who was the emblem of Dharma, was put into such tribulation. The bed of arrows. Gee. And Draupadi, you're so devoted to you, she lost her 5 sons. And, you know, and on and on. So, why take shelter of Krishna if you're expecting he's going to get his protection? And these great advanced souls, the Pandavas, many times spoken of, so much difficulty. Grandfather Bhishma speaks about the so much difficulty. But he's pacifying Yudhisthira Maharaj. They've come to pay their homage to their grandfather who raised them as children because in the absence of Pandu, he served as their father. And now, there he is lying on a bed of arrows. It's so painful. Nice description in Mahabharata. And the very first day of the battle, you know, aside from all the apprehension they had about doing battle with Grandfather Bhishma on the other side, and their teacher on the other side, and their cousins on the other side, they went to the chariot of Grandfather Bhishma and appealed to him for forgiveness and his blessings, because this is culture. You respect elders, you respect, it's like their father, it's even more, their grandfather. And they're going to fight him, offering their respects to him, and then they're going to fight him till death, one or the other. Whew. Very difficult. So, gee, if those things happen to great personalities, then what about me? I'm this little guy. And I know some devotees, even in current time, that are passing through some big challenges. Won't mention any names. But how to understand these things? So, what Grandfather Bhishma says, so here's some lessons, just 2 or 3, because it's a big topic. Grandfather Bhishma says, same thing Brahma says, don't try to understand. Why? because great sages and rishis and most elevated souls, they've tried and tried and tried and they can't understand, so who are you? You know, you're not going to understand. Then he says, so what you should do instead is you look at three things. He doesn't say it exactly like this, but you look at three things. Have you been living a code according to the codes of Dharma? If not, then fix it. And if you've been living according to the codes of Dharma, then have you been applying those principles of the codes of Dharma according to the guidance and counsel of qualified Brahmanas and Vaishnavas? And if not, fix it. And so that's like something that you can do. And if the answer to both of those is yes, then have you been dedicating those activities to the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord? If the answer is yes, and you notice here, you get a yes in all three categories. Because you weren't going to engage in this battle unless you knew Krishna wanted it. And it was under the guidance of Brahmanas, and you were doing it for the Supreme Lord. And so, no cause for lamentation. The plan of the Lord is inconceivable. Just accept it. And he wants that you become the king. So do what the Lord wants. Become the king. Okay, I'm ready. Tell me how to do my duties. How does a king conduct? Then this wonderful Bhagavatam class or Varnashram Dharma class. How a king should do his duties. Here, the emphasis is being given by Lord Brahma, and Prabhupada's purport is because Brahma, so he's counseling his sons, the demigods are not directly his sons, but some and others are sons of his sons, the Prajapatis and so forth, my dear sons. This is all ordained by the Supreme Lord. This is continuing something from a previous set of verses. The time, energy, time is moving things. We don't see time. Where's time? But it's a potency that makes matter move, makes the spiritual world move and makes the material world move. There's different eternal time and past, present, future time. That's a subpotency of eternal time, but it moves everything. And it acts under the will of the Supreme Lord. So whether it's the internal potency, Yogamaya, as is being referenced here, or the expansion of the internal potency, the Abbas feature of the internal potency, whole nice description of all of that in the previous section. Time energy is moving, and time is under the direction of the Supreme Lord. It's under his... it's one of his direct potencies. And so the Lord is going to... what is happening is under his control. The Lord is going to take care of it. Now, it doesn't say, you know, positively or negatively, does Brahma know about the events in Vaikuntha? The gates of Vaikuntha. Doesn't say whether he knows or he doesn't know. One could take it that he knows. One could take it that he doesn't know. Meaning, like in our case, we may not know the plan of the Lord. Now, is there a difference? The answer is yes. Is there a difference between the plan of the Lord and the sanction of something that's not the plan of the Lord? and it's happening? Yes. But he's enough of a devotee, he's the head of our sampradaya, who knows at least this much, it's the plan of the Lord. For the power of the demigods to be eclipsed by the power of asuras, that can't happen without the plan of the Lord. Now there is this divine and demoniac, and Prabhupada often speaks about this even in the heavenly realm, the combat between the asuras trying to take over the daityas, trying to take over with battle, and sometimes they win. Sometimes they don't win. Sometimes they lose. So it goes back and forth, the struggle even in the heavenly realm. Now, is there a plan of this? What's the ultimate plan is? Become a pure devotee. Don't just be a mixed devotee. And because the mixed devotee will have to undergo tribulation. Now, you could just say, that's life, tribulation. But when we're undergoing tribulation, it's not, that's life. That's where, you know, so that's not the message that Brahma is giving to the demigods. It's not, that's life, just accept it. Kesara, sara. Sometimes it goes this way, sometimes it goes this way, that way. It's not Taoism. He's teaching, he's professing attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotional side of their mixed devotion needs ramping up a bit, and so that's what he's doing. He's supporting their faith in the Supreme Lord's ultimate protection, because it cannot be that elevated devotees like the demigods, that they're going to be unprotected. Not going to be like that. Now, the list that Prabhupada gives, sometimes a great personality is killed. Gee, he wasn't protected. Jiva Goswami discusses this very beautifully in Bhakti Sandarbha. He gives the example, on the one hand, Gajendra, and on the other hand, Maharaj Parikshit. On the one hand, Gajendra, he took complete shelter of the Personality of Godhead. Lord Vishnu came and chopped off the head of that crocodile and brought Gajendra back to Godhead. Doesn't say how long it took, but he went back to Godhead. And the crocodile who was cursed, Gandharva, went back to Gandharva Loka. He was freed from that curse. So in that case, Jiva Goswami explains, the potency of the Lord's protection and the exclusive dependence upon the Personality of Godhead is demonstrated. However, in the example of Maharaj Parikshit, apparently it wasn't. But that was only apparent because the glory of Maharaj Parikshit was he was fearless. Let the snake bird come, and snake bird came, bit him, his body burst into flames, and his soul went to Krishna because he was concentrated upon Krishna. That's the nature of a devotee, whether it's Gajendra or Maharaj Parikshit or whatever. Very exalted devotees, regardless of the circumstance. So, who can understand the plan of the Lord? When Maharaj Parikshit is put into such difficulty. You know, it's easy reading the Bhagavatam, hearing our acharyas to say the Lord wanted him to hear Srimad Bhagavatam so it could be recorded, and he wanted him to go back to Godhead, and so he arranged like he arranged. He could have done it any one of a billion other ways, but that's his arrangement. And so we accept the plan of the Lord. You know, maybe we wouldn't do it that way, but we're not Krishna. We're not the personality of Godhead. He loved the personality Godhead loved Maharaj Parikshit even before he was born. So how is he going to not protect him? You know, if there's, I don't understand, if there's some irrationality in the behavior of the Lord, it's because we don't understand the Lord. He moves how he wants to move. And he didn't withdraw his protection, although Maharaj Parikshit died. He got cursed. And then so many other things happened. Janamejaya became king, and Janamejaya wanted to, it's, you know, hear the narration of Mahabharata, and that's the context of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and so many other unfolding. For exalted devotees, the Pandavas, for example, or Maharaj Parikshit or Haridas Thakur, they never considered, wait a minute, you know, I'm being abandoned. I'm not being protected. When Maharaj Parikshit heard from the Brahmana sent a messenger, Shamakrishi sent a messenger, saying, I have to inform the king. He's going to die in 7 days. I don't want to go and tell him. I'll feel terrible and he'll feel embarrassed that he did this. So I just send a messenger. And when he heard from the messenger, even before he heard from the messenger, as he was returning home, he knew, because he's a great devotee, I'm going to get a reaction for all this. But let it come. Tat tenu kampam so samikshamano. I'll just accept it, whatever it is. The Lord's plan. And when the news came what the plan was, I'll accept it. He could have done any number of other things. I'll just accept it. Now, what do we do? Here comes a calamity that's outside of anything we can do, or somebody that you know. A calamity that's outside of anything that you can do. Now, what do you, you know, you just shrug your shoulders and say, que sera, sera. The attention needs to go to the personality of Godhead, and if there's some appropriate service, you do that appropriate service. But whatever that is. We may not know what's appropriate service. That's not uncommon. At least our intention should go. Attention follows intention. It's a nice little cute sounding phrase, but it's true. Attention, just like chanting, attention goes where intention is. So what's our intention? If the intention is, please the personality of Godhead, here comes a calamity. Whoa, reversal. Now here, Prabhupada isn't even just you say reversal, it's reverse. I was going down the path of life and doing my devotional service. The next thing, I'm moving in a different direction. Let my mind not budge an inch from the personality of Godhead and being engaged in his service. So there may be some things that we do, not exactly to counteract the reversal, but to continue on favorably pleasing the personality of Godhead. Again, we may not know what that is, but somehow there's a way, devotion, service to the personality of Godhead cannot be taken from the living entity by any circumstance. It's not created or taken away by circumstance. How to favorably serve the personality of Godhead? Then going back to Bhishma Dev's statement, have we been acting under theistic conduct? Has it been under guidance? And is it with the purpose of pleasing the Supreme Lord? Those are areas that may need some refinement, adjustment, reconsideration, recalibration, you know, and correction, course correction. And if not, like in the case of Maharaj Yudhisthira, Krishna wants you to become king. So that was very clear. Krishna wanted him to become king. In our case, it may not be so clear. What does Krishna want? The question is not, why did he do it this way? That's not a wise path to tread. But how to favorably serve Krishna in this circumstance? Somehow, if we're interacting with others, encourage that contemplation. Given the circumstance, how to favorably serve the personality of Godhead. It may have something to do, I mean, the answer may have something to do with so many things. You know, dealing with the circumstance, addressing that if something was done wrongly, addressing it, maybe not, maybe so many maybes, but that the focus should go to serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead favorably. One who does that, we're hearing, it's just paraphrasing that Lord Brahma's prayer, surely one will go back to Godhead. Faith isn't created by circumstance. Bhakti is not created by circumstance. It's not destroyed by circumstance. You know, when we're weak, it is. But that's not, you know, the essence of what bhakti is. The essence of bhakti is not created or destroyed by circumstance. Ahaitukiya pratyata yayatma supersedati. It's particularly difficult, unpleasant, challenging when devotees, just add the adjective good devotees, in the purport, perfect devotees, undergo those things. Reverse. Maybe it's a little easier for perfect devotees. Like, there must be some plan of the Supreme Lord, otherwise how could it happen? I haven't read it directly, but I heard a number of times Prabhupada after leaving home or after taking sannyas, he was hit by the horns of a cow and was physically harmed. So, wait, he's a pure devotee. A plan was there to kill Bhaktisiddhanta. The police informed him. There was a bribe offered to the police. Look the other way, we're going to kill him. He said, I can't accept that. I can accept bribes, but I can't accept that one. And then informed Bhaktisiddhanta's associates, watch out. So, we don't know. And not knowing is fear. And shelter in the personality of Godhead is fearlessness. Not foolishness. Fearlessness. Because the protection of the Lord will be there, regardless of the circumstance. So when we're passing through, not necessarily death, but a difficult circumstance, faith is tested. And intelligence may get bewildered and so forth. Taking shelter of the temporary, that's the result. Taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and they're meant to be served, that's stabilizing and steadying and even in the face of greatest danger, just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. One is happy in the face of the greatest danger. One is happy. That's not ordinary. Ordinary is circumstantial, we're happy. I was calling a devotee yesterday about something with this upcoming festival. And when he answered the phone, he sounded really happy. I said, "You sound really happy." And he said, "Well, I just distributed a book. Maybe that's why I sound really happy." I may you distribute many books, because then you'll be happy. And all the times that you're not distributing books, please don't be unhappy. The immature stage, it's, you know, a lot of the fluctuation has to do with our attachment to the temporary. And the goal is to become attached to the eternal, become attached to the mood of loving service to Krishna. So Brahma finishes, the demigods get it, they trust the words of Brahma. All it takes is the word from Brahma, and they were now pacified, and they returned back. And then Hiranyaksha and Ranikashipu started to grow and do their thing. Any discussion? Important point. Yeah.
Just thinking about the scenario of in close relationship with devotees. If I witness a devotee making a choice that to me seems like the person is heading toward a ditch.
Yeah.
And yet this aspect of relational intelligence that.
The aspect of.
Relational intelligence.
Relational intelligence.
That, like how I'm seeing in Krishna also, that this aspect that it's hard to understand the Lord too, in the sense that the sentient doesn't mean approval, or that doesn't mean that the Lord's plan is there. So he, depending upon the relationship, he responds differently, in the sense that if he sees the relationship is not open, so he backs off, in the sense of.
This is the observer or the person who's heading for the ditch?
No, I'm talking about the observer.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm just trying to formulate the question around this thing of how do we check our own rescuing tendency.
How do we take our own which?
Rescuer tendency.
Rescuer tendencies.
So, we are trying to be instrument of Krishna, not necessarily rescuing a person knowing that it's heading toward a ditch. And in that, there is this aspect of that intention has to be followed by this intelligence, that sensitivity of relationship, that if I see that the openness is not there from the other side, even though seemingly they might be asking me for something, but it's just the sensitivity that my words are not going to go anywhere. So in that sense, silence can be misunderstood as approval or support, but not necessarily that was the intention of taking that, almost like a sakshi mode kind of a thing.
Almost like a which kind of? Like sattvic mode?
Sakshi. You know, he becomes sakshi.
Toxic?
Sakshi.
Witness.
Sakshi. Okay.
So he, like Krishna takes that role of like he becomes a witness, and he would not correct if he doesn't see the living entities not willing to enter into relationship.
Well, I was with you except for right up into the last part, because Krishna doesn't interfere, but that doesn't mean he doesn't give prompts.
Right.
Heading for the ditch, man. You know, he may give his prompts. The person may be unable to hear the prompt, but that doesn't mean the neutral super soul doesn't give prompts. He may sanction the heading for the ditch program, but doesn't mean he doesn't give prompts. So, what's the message here?
So, I'm trying to understand, like, what I was saying was that if I don't tune into Krishna in that situation where I'm trying to, like...
You're the observer again.
Yeah, I'm having I try to direct it, it hit a wall kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And the person is thinking that he's or she's in a relationship with me, and he or she took it as an approval because
you remain silent.
But I spoke, but then I just the silence was followed by giving the direction or giving the my sense of the situation. And then that silence was taken as an approval or support.
The challenge was taken as approval or support.
You're saying
you're heading for the ditch. Oh, thank you very much. You're proving I'm heading for the ditch.
They disregarded the words, and then.
That's understandable.
Relationship sensitivity that I felt like all the that in the sense that that approaching also was kind of more like a closed approaching or formality kind of thing. That although the person is thinking or feeling that they're approaching for guidance or approval, but I didn't felt that it was. That openness was there to have a...
I'm very familiar with the territory. Now, what's your point?
So my point is in that I have to be... so there is this...
You want to know what you should do?
Yes.
Should you speak or not speak? Because if you speak, there may be a pushback, and if you don't speak, it may be seen as approval.
Yes, and misunderstanding of... and also, so two-part. One is also my own thing that... I should also be intelligent to change the gear, like Krishna.
Yeah.
In the sense that I have to let go of my rescuer tendency, even if I'm seeing that that's happening. I have to be instrumental, not rescuer.
Okay, but the instrument doesn't mean silence. It's the same as super soul. Mm-hmm. Now, I think I get the scenario you're describing, and my response is it depends. Depends on the relationship. Depends on the nature of the relationship at that time. Maybe you'll say something later. Maybe you'll say nothing at all. Maybe you'll say something immediately. Without the sense of, I'm the rescuer, just the sense of, this is an observation. And, you know, please know that I'm your well-wisher. Not like, you know, that's the protection against one's own rescuer tendency. I mean, as you were speaking, I'm thinking of a situation that I've been tussling with in my mind about somebody's in the heading for the ditch. I mean, not totally, not a a total crash, but they're going into a direction that's unwholesome and misguided. So, I've been, and the person very close to me. So, the rescuer tendency is if I say something, to check against it, if I say something or don't say something, the well-being of the soul is in the hand of Krishna, not me. Whether I say something or don't say something. So, that's just step back from the I'm the doer, the rescuer tendency. Then, whether you say something, don't say something, that does require intelligence that says what's going to be effective. And because of the relationship, I may have some idea of what's going to be effective. And the interest is to be effective, not to be a controller. The interest is, so whether I say or don't say, or what I say and when I say it, you know, it requires some intelligence to be guided, and that Krishna is the source of that intelligence. And then you have to, your limitation and capacity, intelligence-wise, and experience as a good teacher. So you know, and then different circumstances are different, so it gets refined as you go along. What to say, what not to say, how to say it. in the mood of being an instrument of Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna, because here's this person dear to me. And I don't want to just act out of attachment because they're dear to me, because there's a zillion persons in the world that are dear to Krishna that I may not even know. So, but here's an opportunity because this person is dear to me that I can be of some service. So that requires intelligence. What to say, when to say, how to say, if to say. And then yet another layer of maturity is how that will be perceived. Now, that's out of your control, how it's going to be perceived. But it's a consideration. I'm thinking, as I'm speaking, you know, three other situations, you know, difficult. So it does require discrimination. Then, you can consult others that are also discerning, discriminating persons, and chances are you're going to get different feedback. And bottom line, you have to make a decision. Then say something, don't say something, or when to say, what you're going to say, how you're going to say it. So that's intelligence, and that's your relationship with Krishna, with the supplier of intelligence. There's no simple answer, you know, cookie cutter type.
So whenever, like, you know, these calamities come, you know, like, there is, like, tendency, you know, to, like, try to figure out plan of Krishna, you know, because, you know, like, our mind wants some sort of closure, you know, like, what's going on. So, my question is, like, how to, you know, like, stay peaceful with this uncertainty, you know, because when, like, things are not happening, you know, then when your faith is not that strong.
Ah, there's the answer. If faith is not strong and there's uncertainty, we're going to fluctuate. Depending, you know, the range can be moderate, mild, or extreme. So the ballast is faith. And if one's faith is not strong, you're going to get tossed around by the waves of the mind. This way, that way, this way, that way. This way, that way. Whoa, I'm going to vomit. I'm going to, you know, seasick. So then step back, and what can I do to make my faith strong? While I'm passing through this, you know, rough storm. And then, you know, like Prabhupada's description of the crossing of the Atlantic Ocean, the captain told him, I've never experienced such a peaceful crossing. But it was enough not peaceful that Prabhupada had two heart attacks. It wasn't because, you know, the time it took to cross the ocean. It was the rising and falling of the big waves of the Atlantic Ocean. It was more peaceful than any other crossing this experienced captain had. So, step back from the fluctuations of the mind that are moving between this and that, and ask the more grounding question, which is, what can I do to strengthen my faith so that I can endure the crossing of the turbulent waters? And the Bhagavatam teaches us that it's the fact, spiritual fact, is shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord makes this ocean of material existence shrink to like that of a water in the hoofprint of a calf. Or the happiness of things material, even the happiness of liberation, like shanti, no more fluctuation between this and that. The happiness of bhakti is a million times greater. So go to the place that's going to provide the solution rather than you know, riding the waves and trying to not vomit, not you know, go mad with the circumstance or bewildered and troubled. Go to that which will strengthen faith. And each of us have things that we do that help strengthen faith. Association of advanced devotees or mature devotees or devotees who have faith. Stand next to a fire, you get warm. And put your hand in your bead bag and try to chant with attention. Now it's going to be difficult because the mind is turbulent, but if faith is there, there's a faith nurturer. Or read scripture. Very powerful. And you make that a regular habit, not just, you know, casual reading, but wishing to know and strengthen your relationship with Krishna, the potencies that are there. They're faith nurturers. And then applying. That's a faith nurturer. Even, you know, little. Doesn't have to be a home run. Just, you know, some little. Investing in something that you know is pleasing to Krishna and do that. In the midst of the troubling circumstance. Make your Krishna connection. Even in a simple way. Just, you know, puts things back in context quickly. Spiritual strength comes quickly. Yes.
I want a doership mentality.
Mm.
So for me, like, I'm not able to differentiate. Maybe I don't know. Like, I take up a service, a responsibility of the service, and in between, I just go into that doership mode. And somebody says, "Oh, watch out!" And then, like, "Oh," then I just come back. But I don't know where to draw the line. I don't know, I'm not understanding when we take up a service responsibility and just going, shifting into that.
I think your question is, I don't detect when the service comes, when I'm abandoning the service mode and taking up the doership mode. What's the trigger?
Yeah.
What's the crossing the line? And then it just goes and then they get tapped on the shoulder saying, "Hey, watch out." So how do I avoid going down that path? Like, from the get-go.
Yes.
Yes. Similar to this other question, you know, the groundedness of for whom am I doing this, and a sense of gratitude that keeps the connection with even having the idea of doing some service. Devotional service. Because our constitutional position is we're servants. We're going to serve. In a doership mode or otherwise, we're going to serve because that's who we are. We're servants. To check the doership mode, for whom am I doing this? And, since I'm repeating myself now, the second is gratitude. You know, how did I even get this idea of being in Krishna's service? So there's, start with our founder Acharya. And so, you know, like your son here. Many, many things he does in his schoolwork and just like playing Madanga and being with his devotee friends. By the way, I never saw you in a suit before. It was really interesting. It's nice to know you have one. But one of the things that would be protection for your son is gratitude. And gratitude, you know, the whole disciplic succession, and, you know, it goes first parents and, you know, the community of devotees and spiritual master and our founder Acharya and disciple. So if the heart is open in gratitude, then when you launch into doing a service that's requested of you, or you just volunteer to do it, the gratitude stays with you. Like, I'll go back to her question about, you know, somebody comes for advice. I've noticed repeatedly people come for some advice, and then when they get the advice, the doership mode kicks in immediately. Oh, that's good advice, I'm going to go do it. And, you know, the connection of where the advice came from, and even, you know, what's behind that, it's lost, because the doership mode is so strong. Zoom, zoom, off they go to do it. And then it fizzles after some time. You know, the enthusiasm and the happiness and everything fades. And conditioning comes back in, and the sadness comes back in, and they find themselves repeating the same, you know, problem, because they forgot the connection. So, it'll be the sign of a child to mature in life when they're not just doing things because mom and dad said so, but there's this deeper sense of gratitude towards, you know, that which gave me this wonderful gift. Mridanga playing, or whatever it is, And, you know, the association of devotees. And then the sense of discriminating, how do I conduct myself when I'm with non-devotees? So as with your son, you can understand with yourself. Keep going. You want to say something else?
So what I'm understanding is, like, when I'm doing the service, so I remember...
Even before you start, before you launch, go into this pause space. It doesn't have to be a long pause space. It's just a mode of goodness reflection space that says, Krishna is very kind. I now have some opportunity to serve him. It can be big, small, or medium, or a combination of things. It's just that space of for whom and the sense of gratitude. So not even before, and then stay connected. Not just, you know, but that's to take cultivation. But that's bhakti, a sort of cultivation, isn't it? Okay, so put cultivation. The tendency is already there. You know the example, the walking tendency in an infant is already there. The tendency has to come out. And your tendency comes out by trying to walk. By abhyasa. You practice. And you practice and you practice and you practice. However many times you tumble, you practice and practice. And then next thing you know, the kid's running around. Can't stop him. It's there. Not outside of yourself. It's not a skill you have to learn. It's already there. It's different. Not like, you know, learning something with technology. How to get this, you know, amplification system to work. It's not that kind of thing. Not technical knowledge. It's something already, it's of the soul, it's already there. It's covered, and, you know, but it's the light is stronger than darkness. Go to the light. Go to Krishna. And with gratitude for those who have, it's already there, but there are those who have helped to rekindle it. And with that gratitude, it moves and grows and grows and grows. You know, the missing piece and the big O, you know, that's the same. It grows and grows. Got it. Just keep practicing with faith in it's already there, and the gratitude of those who helped you find that strength, inner strength, and it grows and it grows. And there's some tumbling, and then get up and
We discussed about how demigods became peaceful when Brahma said
yes, just by hearing,
just by saying, Lord will take care.
Hmm.
Same we hear in Queen Kunti's situation where Bhima was poisoned and
yes,
Vidura said,
it's okay,
and she became peaceful. I was just when talking about demigods, I was just thinking about myself. For me, everything has to make sense in my head, usually. I mean, when somebody says something, I try to analyze and I try to...
We each have our nature.
And I mean, I talk to some devotees, they say, oh, that's just your personality. But is it really so, or is it a quality that I should endeavor to cultivate?
Well, if you don't understand, then ask. Arjuna did that. Now, how are you going to get the understanding? It's not by your rational faculties necessarily. But by rational faculty, you can understand there's some things I just can't understand. Or, I don't understand it at the moment, but it doesn't pinch my faith in the ultimate. And that can be based on, direct sense perception. I have so many experiences where in the end... So in this particular circumstance, I don't understand. But I have... It doesn't pinch my faith. I can carry on. I can carry on with enthusiasm without fully understanding because faith is there. But I don't stop asking... My reasoning faculty needs to work. There has to be, again, this sense of intelligence or discrimination, because that's what intelligence means, that you discriminate. What is the method? How patient should you be? How intense should the inquiry be? And, intelligence is something that Krishna gives. Spiritual intelligence is something that Krishna gives. As you're asking your question, I'm thinking of an extreme example of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who heard there's 23 and a half syllables in the Gayatri Mantra, and he couldn't, what's that? I never heard that. Couldn't find it. Then he was ready to give up his life entering into Radha Kund, because he couldn't find it. The answer by his rational faculty. But, that's a pure devotee, it's not you. So don't imitate. But he was, he wanted to know. So wanting to know is good. And continue to want to know in a strong way, but, without impinging faith. So Radharani, something, came in a dream or something, saying it's okay, there's this certain dictionary or description of grammar that says a half a syllable is in such and such circumstance. And he went and found in the library that particular reference, and then he was peaceful. But there are circumstances that just the rational faculty doesn't have the capacity at that particular time and circumstance. So you, with faith, you continue. And then it may become revealed. This is, a little bit similar to his question. You're in this space where Ooh. Between this and that. Our goal, our target, is faith in hearing the Holy Name. We're going to be discussing this during the Festival of the Holy Name. But in short, one of the messages is the ear is stronger than the mind. So by hearing, with faith, that within Krishna's name is everything. Harinam eva kevalam. Everything is there. So let me put my inquisitive rational mind is beating me up. Let me place my ear above the mind and just try to hear the Holy Name, whether I can, my rational mind is peaceful or not. Let me try to hear. And that makes the mind peace, it conquers the mind. And then the understanding can come. But we revere the rational mind and sometimes use a bully. Beats us up bad. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.